Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Wednesday morning, or if you are just joining us, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 76. Although we may honorarily call it number 6, because we told everybody that 11 a.m. Mountain, Rob Bagg would be joining us live less than 24 hours after he announced his retirement from the CFL, and our viewership's just spiked. And I assume our listeners have, too, because they knew that Bagger was coming on. And he joins us this morning on video chat, and I always ask everybody where they are. Good morning, Rob. Where are we catching you today? Where are you at?
How you doing, Rod? It's good to hear from you, man.
Yeah.
I just pulled over here. I'm in between running around as I've gotten into this real estate game. I'm sure you've got a few realtor friends and just kind of trolling all over the city. So I just pulled over here, but I'm in Kingston, Ontario, enjoying a beautiful day down here.
Well, you are known for your work ethic. You might have to work even harder now. That's what I know about real estate agents, but I also know you're not afraid of hard work. Rob, you announced...
Go ahead.
You announced on Twitter yesterday your announcement of retirement, and I could just feel the emotion in reading your words. You put a lot of thought into that, and this wasn't an easy decision, it seems like to me.
Would I have loved to keep playing? Absolutely. I actually just stopped training. Well, I didn't really stop training, but kind of have cut down the amount of time I've spent training just about 3 weeks ago. So, for the last 6 months, I've been working on my real estate license. I finally got that. So now that I have that in hand, it seems like it's the right time to move forward, being that there just weren't the right teams interested in terms of my playing career being continued. So lots to be thankful for. I'm certainly, I enjoyed a heck of a trip when I was out in Saskatchewan, and I've just enjoyed every minute being a part of that program and that province, really. So I guess my time's over there, but it was a tremendous ride.
Well, the funny thing is, Brian Peters was on here yesterday. He's sitting there waiting for a contract. You guys, I think, are of similar age, and he called it the shrinking of the middle class. This salary cap has kind of hurt veteran players in both the CFL and the NFL, frankly.
Yeah, I think it makes it a little bit difficult. Any industry where there's, a constant influx of new, younger players that are willing to play, obviously, for a significantly less amount of money, it's difficult to keep up. And you just have to be that much better to try and retain that job. So, I know BP can still get it done out there, and I'm optimistic that he'll get another opportunity. But as we've seen so many times before, it's just kind of the nature of the business.
Rob, Marshall Hamilton here. We're talking about you all morning, people writing in about some of their favorite memories, touchdown this, catch that, et cetera. Unfortunately, at the risk of sounding a bit morbid, what I remember most about your career is how you had these devastating knee injuries, but still, and would lose the whole season, but still found the fortitude to come back. And I'm just wondering, as you reflect back on your career now, tell me about sort of what you learned through those experiences, and tell me where you got that. Like, were you just born with this attitude that nothing's going to stop me?
I don't know about being born like that, but certainly the people that have influenced my life, my parents, my grandparents, and then just my inner circle of close friends. Unfortunately, I kind of experienced some low moments in life when I was younger in high school that kind of, that really showed your true character and the type of people that you surround yourself with. And I've just tried to carry a mantra of, find the hardest working guy in the room and outwork that individual since an early age. So I enjoy working hard. I take pride in my work. And I've kind of always put my attention to the game of football and loved every second of that and would keep doing that if it allowed me to. But as in everything, you know, there usually things come to an end, and that's hence why I'm moving forward in this industry. But the knees, you know, that was really kind of, for most people, you would consider the prime of your career that I wasn't able to play the game. But at the same time, I honestly wouldn't change too much. It made me appreciate things so much more that had I not experienced those things, maybe I wouldn't have looked at it the same way. So I think you just got to take the whole experience as it is and appreciate the highs and recognize that the lows made those highs that much more memorable.
Rob, I got two for you. First, we were just talking about the 07 story. I want to get your thoughts on that. What do you remember about 07 training camp and telling Ken Austin that you're going to go back to university and not play for the Riders?
What a story.
I honestly don't remember too much from training camp, but I certainly remember not being drafted. Never forgot that moment. And, you know, really when I didn't get picked and I'm looking at these 10 receivers that got picked, I'm just thinking to myself, well, in my head, it made sense to go back to university and show, or at least prove to everyone that I was the number one receiver in Canadian college at that time. So that was kind of my mindset and a big reason why I went back. Of course, your mom likes to hear that you're going back to finish your education. So the story kind of fell along those lines, but certainly I had some self-motivation there and internal reasons why I wanted to go back and play one more year of university football. That being said, you know, as you grow older, is one of the few things that I probably do regret. I don't think my development as a football player really improved going back to the university level, not compared to what it could have had I stayed around the Saskatchewan Roughriders at that time. And of course, watching them win the Grey Cup that year as well, those all kind of play into how you reflect on those decisions. But again, it's kind of part of my story now. And yeah, just fortunate to get another opportunity the following year and tried to make the most of that.
Well, things work out for a reason. I don't know, I don't want to jump on you here, Marshall, because you got a question. But yeah, watching them win the Grey Cup when you could have been on that team in 07. So thinking about that, what did it feel like in 2013 when you actually did win one? Because that has to feel extra special.
It was. And again, I wouldn't say that it was any more special because of 2007. To me, it was incredibly special for the obvious reasons, it being in front of our home crowd. But more so just the experiences of 2009 and 2010, coming that close with such a great group of guys and having, you know, kind of the core guys still around in 2013, to be able to share that moment with those guys after the defeats that we had experienced earlier in our career. It was just a incredibly validating feeling and certainly one I'll never forget.
Rob, I'm going to transition to your post-career. And based on something you said earlier, and I certainly don't want you to out the agent that I'm going to refer to, but have you picked the top agent, the hardest working agent, and said the same thing in that field that you said in the Saskatchewan Roughriders, in the Canadian Football League field, that single him out and say, I'm going to work harder than him and I'm going to be better than him? And have you set a time frame for yourself?
I wouldn't say I've set any time frames. You know, there's I can definitely appreciate the fact that there's a lot to learn in this industry. That being said, in my opinion, the top agent in the town right now is actually one of my close friends, a guy that I grew up with, Mike Giffen. And oddly enough, he was on the Grey Cup winning teams in 2009 and 2010 as a special teams player there for Montreal. So we go way back to being kids and growing up together and then playing ball at Queens. And he's a tremendously hard worker as well. So, you know, as I've partnered up with him, I think there'll be lots to push myself and lots of individual goals. And I'm sure we'll compete with one another on a daily basis.
Well, speaking of, and it sounds like your phone's going off, you're getting calls, man, we don't want to keep you. I know you're going to be busy, but Weston Dressler was on here a couple of weeks ago, speaking of hard work and speaking of your best friends. And I said, why did we never have that race that I was always trying to sanction, Weston Dressler versus Rob Bagg? And he said, Ken Miller wouldn't allow it. And two, you guys would injure each other trying to beat each other. And that's probably why Kenny wouldn't sanction it. Is that what happened?
You know, what can I say about Dress that people already don't know? I mean, he was, for a guy that was undersized, he brought it every day. And
oh boy, we're going to have to reconnect with Bagger right when we get into the good stuff.
Oh, I know.
Well, it was all good. I hope he reconnects. And a guy wrote in here, Ian, and said, why did he have the tattoo of Q on his arm? Well, that was an easy one. We don't have to ask Rob that. That's for Queen's University, yeah, which most of the guys that have gone through there have it, right?
That's on the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The back of the arm or forearm or whatever, yeah, yeah, from Queen's University. Oh, we got to get to Rob, get him to answer some of these questions still, but is it wrong of me to have been trying to set up a race between Rob Bagg and Weston Dressler? I mean, at least we would have had an answer. You would have thought, Marshall, you played in the league. Wouldn't you want, if you were racing your best friend, wouldn't you want to do that? I think the guys wanted to do it.
Well, I would say, oh, sure, because we're all athletes. All athletes are competitive. And if you said, you know, I think I can beat you in a race, the other guy said, oh, yeah, let's line up, let's go. I don't think you need the coach's permission to do it. I mean, just go out and have your darn race. But I think deep down, every athlete, especially people like wide receivers, defensive backs, the guys that rely on speed in what they do, they pretty much know who's faster.
Do you think they ever did it, though, on their own?
No, I don't.
Ever?
You can ask him when we get him back.
I wonder, you know, me and a buddy were doing that when the Olympics were on. We were going back and forth about, you know, who's faster. And so we literally drove to a high school in the middle of the night. It was like 11 o'clock at night. We drove to a random high school and we raced down the track. Guys, it set
sounds
it up
like a Seinfeld episode.
It was
where,
just
where you get the high school teacher exactly with the pistol and the car backfires before the pistol goes off. And Jerry Seinfeld gets a head start.
But about those two guys.
Yeah.
They're insanely fast.
Yeah.
And that's and deceptively fast. And that's competitive. That's why I wanted to set up the race. But you say, why do we need the coach? I wasn't going to set this up without asking Kenny. They would have hung me from center field if they'd done that. But I still want to know. And I would have thought these two guys would also want to know. But it's funny, too. You turn your back on that team in 07, and he just gave the reasons why. And to watch them win the Grey Cup, that's got to be a kick to the junk, man. Like, I would think.
Yeah.
Obviously, it stoked the fire, too, but.
Sure.
But, again, that's sort of Rob Bagg's M.O., and he certainly didn't do that on purpose, but he went back to university to prove a point. And when he wasn't on that Grey Cup team, it probably just motivated him more to continue to prove his points throughout his career. He has an injury this season ending. He says, I'm going to prove them wrong. He has another injury this season ending. I'm going to prove them wrong. You know, every year they draft somebody that they want to replace him with. He says, I'm going to prove them wrong. He's just the kind of guy that's you're not going to hold me back. And I feel sorry for the other real estate agents in the area of Kingston, because he's going to take that same attitude to that as well.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And that's the one thing that I've learned from my real estate friends around here, because I've got guys asking me to get my license. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to work that hard. I don't want to be out showing a house at 8 o'clock at night to people that I don't know. But they do.
Yeah.
And they like it. And if that's what Rob wants to do, he will be the hardest working best guy. No, I wouldn't want to be happy if he moved into my neighborhood and I was a real estate agent either. You know, so, well, we have a couple last questions for Rob Bagg, and we got 5 minutes left in this segment. It's funny when he mentioned that his mom was happy that he went back and finished his education. Mine was not happy with me because I never finished Mount Royal University. I got a job and left. Did you finish yours? Well, you did. You're Mr. Yale over there. Isn't that's what Stu Fraser said.
What do you want me to say? I got an Ivy League degree.
Oh, there you go. Oh. Mr. Yale. I can't remember if it was. That's funny.
That's Stewie Fraser.
That's
right?
Stu Fraser that said that. Yes, not me. So.
My brothers all think I went to jail, but it was actually pronounced Yale.
Well, and it's funny.
Jay was silent.
They still say that. That's right.
I know they do.
But on the real estate thing, Rob Peterson, who is a longtime sponsor of mine personally with my website, Realty One, he is the one trying to get me to get my real estate license. He wants to do Peterson and Peterson Realty. And he goes, I'll do all the selling. Just put your name on it. And I said, Rob, I wouldn't get past the first page of the manual. I hate real estate. I need to, you want to love what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't love what you're doing. Which, speaking of, it reminds me of this. The SJ fans, the WHL fans, they're just all up in our business about the coverage, right? And we're going to give it to him. We're talking about doing a special junior hockey show here on a designated day, probably Thursdays when Kelly Rempel's here. And the way for me to cover those leagues best is what? Go to the games.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of my daughter the first day she came home from kindergarten, day one, Marshall. And I said, how did it go? And she goes, Dad, all we did was color. I was going to do that anyways. This is the easiest thing. So that's the thing about this show. I'm not going to go into real estate. This is the funnest thing ever. And now we got, I got the time to go to these SJ games and these Dub games and follow the Rush and go to those games. It is the best thing ever.
It's so right, man. I mean, people ask about this and, you know, the job and, geez, you got to travel everywhere. You got to go to all these games. You're always gone. You're always on the road. I'm like, I'd have done that anyway.
I'd have done it anyway.
Same thing.
My kids, those words echo in my ear like almost every day.
Yeah.
Dad, I was going to do it anyways.
I know.
Coloring.
And
it's so easy.
I think about that with parents. The one thing I think about is find out what you do when nobody's watching, yeah. Right? What do you do when nobody's watching is something that I kind of go to. And, you know, for parents, like, well, I never see him do this. Never da, 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 da. And it's like, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like this. Well, you don't know because you don't see what happens when the door is closed in the bedroom and he's playing basketball in the back of the thing or whatever's going on, right? Or he's in his
computer.
You
don't see the work that goes into
it. No. And it's like, if you could just see what they're doing when nobody's watching, you'll know what they really like and what they really want to do.
But that's the Tom Brady thing, or that's the Rob Bag thing, because I've seen Rob train. And by the way, that doesn't look fun. You were a pro athlete, Marshall, so you did it. I mean, you also see me now, a little 30 minutes on the elliptical and I'm out, you know? But that's not pro athlete training. That's work. These guys put in the work. And actually, they tell me that we've got Rob with us right now. So where we left you, Bagger, there, oh, look at that. There, he's got his headphones. Where we left you was your relationship with Weston Dressler. Can you speak about that? And why was there never a race between the two of you? And who would have won it? Sorry, that's three questions in one.
I'm not sure who would have won it. My own bias is there. But, you know, it was fun to chase him around trying to make blocks for those guys for so many years. Just our relationship. I mean, Dress is just a best friend. You know, he's the type of guy that you're just grateful to have in your life. He's a tremendous football player, but a better human being, in my opinion. And, you know, between him and Getz, and I'm not sure where I got cut off last time there, but between him and Getz, and I'd be amiss to not mention Double D, too. Those guys played such huge roles in terms of creating a career, but extending a career for a long term for me. So, you know, I consider those guys my brothers and absolutely love them. And there's so many other guys, too, on both sides of the ball. I was overwhelmed with how many guys reached out yesterday to, you know, just to say congratulations on the career. So, it just makes me smile thinking about it. But Weston was certainly a special player and a guy I'm very proud to have lined up and for the most part blocked for, but definitely had a lot of fun playing the game with him.
You mentioned pride. What are you the most proud of this 11-year Hall of Fame Grey Cup winning career?
I'd probably now looking back, just being able to overcome the knee injuries. There were a lot of dark days there, dark moments there where, you know, I wasn't sure if it was going to, you know, if it was going to be able to work out, but, you know, I got to give Ivan a lot of thanks. He was there always making sure that I mostly didn't overdo it. Always trying to get back probably faster than maybe I should have, but, just so many people were there to support me. My wife, obviously, my parents. Those people were such a big part of overcoming those challenges. And then to be able to get back on the field. And I think that's partly why retirement was kind of bittersweet, is I truthfully felt every year since 2013, I felt better and better and better, just more confident in my legs and everything else that goes along with it. So, when you feel like you're physically capable of playing your best football, regardless of how old you are at that moment, I think it makes the hanging them up a little bit harder. But again, too many things to be grateful for to be hung up on the things that didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, and two last questions. That's kind of related to one. There were teams in the East that wanted you for trade. I know for a fact, and I don't know if there were free agent offers made when you were up for free agency, but does it nag you at all that you didn't get a chance to play in the East? Personally, I like the fact that your stat line is all Saskatchewan for 11 years. I think that's cool. But do you regret the fact that you never got to play in the East?
Absolutely not. They didn't want me when they could have had me, and I'm proud to have played for the only team that gave me a chance. So I got no regrets there.
Good stuff. Well, you talk about the knee injury and coming back. You've got so much to offer anybody that's going through that, plus training and everything else. I mean, everybody's going to ask you if you want to coach. Is that going to be part of your future?
We'll see. I mean, would I like doing that? Would I enjoy doing that? Absolutely. I'm not sure I have any greater passions in the game of football outside of my family. So You know, I'm trying to carve out some time to help the local high school that I learned so much from 15 years ago here in town. And one way or another, I'll make sure I'm close to the game. But yeah, I've just been too fortunate to work with too many great guys that pass down skills and knowledge to me that I feel, you know, there's an onus on me to make sure I do that to the next guy coming. So I'll continue to work with the Queens players in the off season and those guys that take it seriously. But yeah, it's tough to let go. And for right now, I feel like a little separation from the game is probably for the best, just to kind of close the book on that and look forward to what else I can accomplish in life. So for now it's on ice, but who knows what lies down the road.
Well, Travis Lule is doing the exact same thing, and he said the exact same thing on this show. And lastly, you mentioned here that in the prime you missed some time with your knee injury. But the way I look at it, Rob, is that when you were needed, you were there and you delivered. And I know where you're going through right now is hard, but this is the most lovable era of Rough Rider football in 119 years, and you're one of the biggest reasons why that is. So I hope in time you'll realize it, because I know it's so fresh. But thanks for everything that you've done for this province and this football team.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, just I guess as last words, just thank you to the entire province. Thank you for taking me in. Saskatchewan's like home to me. Had I known I would have got 10 years out there, I would have moved out there permanently after my first season. It's a great place to live and a better place to play football. So thank you to each and every fan, and I couldn't be more proud to have been a Saskatchewan Rough Rider as long as I was.
Thank you, Rob. Good luck. Don't be a stranger.
I won't. You guys take care, and yeah, go Riders, go.
There we go. One of the all-time greats, Rob Bagg, announcing his retirement within the last 24 hours. So we'll continue with that and other themes when we come back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show, Canada's most watched Facebook live show. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Canada-wide clearance has arrived at Capital GMC in Regina. That means for a limited time, our entire inventory of new vehicles have clear-o prices to move. This brand new 2019 GMC Sierra double cab is just $39,894 plus tax. That's only $225 bi-weekly. We have over 200 SUVs to clear out. This new 2019 GMC Terrain SLE has a clear-o price of only $34,623 plus tax. That's just $99 a week and is all-wheel drive with heated seats and navigation. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Wednesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. The Edmonton Oilers have signed Russian forward Anton Burdasov to a professional tryout contract. The 28-year-old had 19 goals and 12 assists in 50 games in the KHL last season. Last night, The Oilers fell 4-2 to the Vancouver Canucks. Merely a speed bump, gentlemen, on the way to a playoff appearance by the mighty Oil. CFL news. What?
You want to bet on that, Marshall?
I'm willing to make a bet on whoever that wants to take it. The Toronto Argonauts announced they have added former All-Star defensive back Jonathan Mincy to the practice roster. That should make a difference, I would think, to the Argos defense for sure. And upcoming this weekend, Regina Rams in action Friday. They will travel to play the 3-0 Calgary Dinos. What are the Huskies doing? Do we know?
No, I'm so focused on that game. Game I'm covering.
That's the game of the week in Canada West. We got to know what the Huskies are doing. The Saskatoon people need their coverage. What are the Huskies doing? And the WHL regular season kicks off Friday. 7 games in total, including the Regina Pats, home to the pesky Warriors. 7:00 in the Brent Center, and I'll be there. That is the fruit flies in here. Wednesday morning update.
Somebody in our page is willing to take that bet already, Rod.
By the way, okay, good.
And it's Paul, not Nashville.
Paul watching from Edmonton this morning. The infamous Paul. His chair's empty over there. Good morning, guys. Watching from Edmonton River Cree Casino. That sounds like a fun place. Never been.
At 11:30 in the morning?
Sell them a sponsorship, Paul. Maybe you have a problem, Paul. What are you doing in the casino?
I was going to say it's at 11:30. There's not much action going on there. He's the only one at the craps table.
How about Dennis Hull's line on problem gambling? He's sitting at the blackjack table, and he sees an ad on the wall that says, when you have a problem with your gambling, call 1-800-STOP-GAMBLING. So he calls it. She goes, welcome to the gambling hotline. He goes, yeah, I got a problem. Yeah, what is it? I got a jack and a two.
What do I do?
Or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, that was exactly what the joke was.
Because I don't gamble. But only with my life, as they say. Davis Sanchez in minutes coming up on the program. Man, we've covered a lot of ground today. We mentioned earlier the coach of the year. Somebody said, who wins it, Kahari Jones or Craig Dickinson? Wonderful talk to have. Absolutely. I'm not sure either one's going to win it. And they've both done solid jobs. Look at the Hamilton Tiger Cats. What are they? Well, they lost last week on what you've said is a lucky play. Do you still feel that way? Calgary blocking the field goal?
No, I wouldn't say it was a lucky play. It was an excellent play. But how often do plays like that happen?
I know.
Is very, very, very rare. I thought they were lucky. Calgary was lucky to win the game, but it wasn't the lucky play that caused that. It was just, you know, too many mistakes made by the better team that day. Now, how do you call them the better team if they're making more mistakes? But there's just too many turnovers by Hamilton, and Calgary wasn't playing very well, didn't deserve to win that game, but they did. So they were fortunate to win that game.
Only reason I bring it up, 9-3.
Yeah.
Orlando Steinauer, a rookie head coach. He's got to be in the conversation for coach of the year.
Yeah, in my mind, there's three people in the conversation. In no particular order, Orlando Steinauer, Craig Dickinson, and Kahari Jones. And the reason we're only two-thirds of the way through the season. The reason I'd go with Kahari Jones is because he took a train wreck and turned them into a really good football team. Hamilton, Orlando Steinauer, has done an excellent job. And he's overcome the fact that they lost their starting quarterback, Jeremiah Masoli. Of course, most of the teams in the league have. But he took a very good football team and kept them a very good football team. Craig Dickinson took, you know, a good football team, not a very good football team, took a good football team, overcame all of the baggage left by Chris Jones leaving, and has kept them as a good football team, even though they're having to play with their second quarterback throughout the whole season. So Craig Dickinson would be number two in my mind, but Kahari Jones would be number one because he took a train wreck, he turned him into a really good football team.
Yeah, I think that's it. You can't fault a coach for the players he's got. I mean, you can't fault Orlando Steinauer for having a good team. Hey, I got a good team, and I kept him good. Clearly, he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
But you're right. The expectations in Montreal and just the volume of... I mean, we expected them to not win any games. We expected them to be what BC has been, right? Yep. And for now them to kind of want to call them a contender a little bit, at least in the East, it's amazing. It is what he's done. And I know, sorry, incredible. It's incredible what he's done. It really is.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
No, it is. Yeah, it really is. Because if you would have told me this now, I wouldn't have believed you.
No,
you would have told me this at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can never use the terms incredible or unbelievable, but you got to choose when it makes sense. And in that case, I would agree. It is unbelievable the way he's turned them around.
Now, they don't hand out these awards in September.
Exactly.
Nor October. And they actually hand them out in January, February at the CFL winter meetings, because as we mentioned the other day, the vote now is after the Grey Cup, which it should be. So these answers will all be answered in the playoff time. And Grey Cup, the people from Calgary have written in and said, what about Dave Dickinson? And I say, what about him? He's won his Grey Cups and he's won his Coach of the Year. And you know what? He might win the Grey Cup again. It's pointing that way. You know, actually, our next guest will have some thoughts on this. But yeah, Dave has had his time with his name engraved on the trophy. There's some good up-and-coming young coaches. Sorry to tell you, Dave's not that young anymore.
Well, in the case that of Dave there. Dickinson, you go from being a Grey Cup champion to being tied for second place in the league. Does that sound to you like Coach of the Year?
No.
No, that
doesn't. But that's just Calgary people. And right. You're a Stampeders alum, so you know what they're like out there.
Well, not as much as I know what Saskatchewan fans are like, because I've lived here all my life. But I would ask any Calgary listener or watcher of this program to convince me, why should Dave Dickinson be ahead of those other three names? I'd love to hear
that. That's just fans sticking up for their guy. That's all.
That's fine. If you're saying because he's our Calgary coach, I'd say, okay, I accept that. You're a fan. But if you want to look at things logically, I try to do when I do analysis, the other three coaches are well above Craig Dickinson.
Right, and you're going to bring Davis Sanchez is now. If people want to talk about why a guy should be Coach of the Year, I'll tell you, just for fun's sake, why he won't. And Kahari Jones or Orlando's taken a Eric Tillman-built team. It was already made for him. And I do think Montreal was a train wreck. I don't care what anybody says. Let's bring in Davis and see what he has to say. CFL on TSN's Davis Sanchez. From what I understand, Davis, just sitting back enjoying the program this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I have been. Yeah, guys, I have been listening. And thanks for bringing me on right after an absolute legend in Regina there, in Saskatchewan in general. So I have a good Robbie Bagg story. Got time for Robbie Bagg story?
We got all day for you, Dave.
His rookie year, I remember before we played him the first time, an American DB sitting in our DB meeting room, who shall remain nameless, making a comment, nobody better let this guy beat him, and pointing at the rookie Rob Bagg, the Canadian rookie who this American DB felt like shouldn't be able to do anything. And the game we played him that weekend, he had like 160 yards. I think 140 were on that American DB. So I remember looking over at a couple of the other Canadian guys with a little bit of chuckle and a wink. Although he was a very good DB, but Rob got the best of him.
You know what? I absolutely love what this show's brought forth and his stories like that. We never used to hear stories like that.
Yeah.
It's always the after the fact stories. You know what I mean? Or when a guy retires like Rob Bagg. Davis, you said you heard some of our discussion here. Coach of the Year right now. If the vote had to be cast today and they're going to hand it out on Saturday, who are you voting for?
Yeah, it's Orlando Steinauer. I'll have to disagree with you on that one, right? I think you...
no, I think he's done a great job.
I think Steinauer is the Coach of the Year for sure.
But you know what? The beautiful thing is we got a lot of coaches that have done great jobs. That's actually... That's the silver lining of the story. Yeah. There's some choices.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think Dickey, I mean, even though at only 8-4, I think Craig's done a great job, especially the quarterback situation. And, regardless of how great we think that everyone thinks that Cody's done, and they're right, Dave has to have something to do with it, along with the offensive staff. But, I called him Dave, but Craig. Being a first-year head coach, he's done a pretty good job. And he also should be considered.
Davis Marshall Hamilton here. I'm loving, as a former defensive back, watching you on the panel with the other TSN analysts as a former defensive back. And I love the banter that I could see you having with Dunnigan, but especially with Stiegel as a defensive back receiver combination. Tell me, kind of take us
behind, having fun.
Take us behind the scenes. That's sort of where I'm going, the fun part. Take us behind the scenes to the four of you with Rod Smith, your panel moderator, watching the games together and how much fun you have watching the games together. I know you have to do a little bit of planning and say, okay, well, I'll talk about this and you talk about that, but you must be having a heck of a time watching those games with that group.
No, it is. That's probably the most fun of it all. I would love it if we were able to just watch the game and not be on a time limit to get to the halftime show to talk or to prepare, because we do have a good time just shooting it amongst us. And I wish the halftime was 20 minutes. I know the viewers wish, you know, want to get back to the game. But there's so many times that we have great conversations just before half, or something happened, or we just don't have time to fit it all in. That's why it's great when we have the 30-minute pregame show. And I know we had more of them this year than we have had in the past. And I think that's something that they want to continue to get more of, because just to have – there's so many stories in the CFL that we want to talk about and that are interesting. We don't always get to. But, I mean, you know, you have those three Hall of Famers. They have lots of stories, and we have lots of stories. So it's good banter. Everybody thinks that they know it all, and at the end of the day, the one that knows the most is Rod. So that's the reality.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? No, you're clearly loving it. Is this something you always wanted to do after football, or what did you envision, you know, in the media side? Are you right where you want to be?
Yeah, no, not at all. I didn't want anything to do with football, actually. I didn't want to coach. I didn't want to be in media. And my mother, who is passed now, but she a big CFL fan, and we watched games, you know, growing up, and she always would say to me, you'd be great. Why don't you, you know, because I've always talked, as you guys probably know, I got a big mouth and I always have lots to say. So she would always say, you'd be great. And I just didn't. She always used to compare me to Jock Climby. She would say, Jock's so good. You, and in my head, I'm like, I am nothing like Jock at all. Jock is an articulate, nerdy lawyer and very intelligent. And I'm kind of a dumb jock who's, semi dumb jock. And, so no, there's no comparing me and Jock. And I just also, with the panel, you know, there was the same guys for so many years that he didn't think there was an opportunity. So I wanted to do nothing. I wanted to have no part of football. I didn't want to coach. I didn't want to be in media. I wanted to try business. So I did that for a few years, and then an opportunity came, and realized talking about football is much easier than business, as you guys probably know.
So how did that opportunity come? People don't just come and knock on your door and say, hey, we're thinking you might want to be a panelist on our TSN broadcast. Yeah. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, good point. It was actually James Cebulski, if you guys remember James. The league called James. James moved to Vancouver, where I was living, and after his time with TSN. And the league called him and asked him to do a podcast, which is the Wagga that the CFL does, and thinking of someone that could talk and that was in Vancouver, he reached out to me, and I had never done anything in the media at all. And so I did that with him and kind of liked it. And then Rick Moffitt got me doing some of the Al stuff, radio. And then from there, I loved it. I just found, like, you know what, if I actually put as much effort into this as I do as a player trying to get to the league or in business, I might be able to make a go of this. So I just told my wife at the time, or my wife currently, gosh, she's not going to like that. My wife, I'm talking to my wife during that time. Yeah. Right. That I was going to make a go of it. And I did. And it's, everything's worked out. Just, it's been great. I love it. This game is, the CFL is a game that, you know, it's been a big part of my life. So be able to work and do it for a living, it's pretty, I feel pretty lucky.
Clark,
absolutely.
Clark, when we put this on YouTube, you got to cut that little part out, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Davis, who is the best team in the CFL entering week 15?
This is a tough one. It's if I had to take a team, I'm going to get in crap for this, and Milt and Hank both bust my chops about this, but I think it's Calgary, and it's just, I know that their record is not there, and you know, these guys, a lot of people like Winnipeg, a lot of people like Hamilton, I do like those teams as well, and I feel like, because of Bo, if you make me take a team right now, I think, and I would add Sask into that mix, and I would add Montreal into that mix, I think these teams are, there's a lot of parity, East and West this year. And the one thing that makes Calgary stand above everyone else is that Bo's been there, done it. And if I have to take one guy in the playoff, I'm taking Bo, and that's what separates them from the bunch.
And he's rested, so look out.
Exact, good point. Yeah,
Davis, thanks so much for this. Always enjoy our visits, man. We'll be watching this weekend, and hopefully we can do it here down the road this fall.
Hey, thanks, gents.
Davis Sanchez joining us from Toronto today. We have to pause. We'll be back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Okay, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. One more segment with Marshall Hamilton, and then Dukes and I will take over with the overtime segment. I should mention that we'll be talking a lot of hockey tomorrow on the program. I can just feel it in my bones as I look at my Warrior jersey up on this, or pullover up on the screen. Pats Warriors Friday night, opening night, dub playoffs, regular season, sorry. And then right after this, I'll be testing a technological setup with the North Battlefords Hockey Club, the Battlefords North Stars, interviewing their coach. So I know everybody just salivating and dying for the junior hockey coverage, and we're going to provide it, but it will be tomorrow. This is still a CFL-wide show. Our numbers indicate that. And here's the funny thing. So I did a Twitter search in the break because Marshall was asking about Trevor Harris's availability for Friday night's game against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Eskimos Tie Cats. Well, Morley Scott, the voice of the Eskimos, is putting on Twitter that Trevor Harris is leading the first team offense and wearing a helmet in today's practice. That tweet was 33 minutes ago. I go to another source. I should actually find it here. From Sports Interaction, a pretty big sports gambling website. Here's what they put. The Edmonton Eskimos will have a new face at quarterback Friday as they look to remain in the hunt for a top spot in the West Division. But the Eskimos are slight underdogs for Friday's encounter with the visiting Hamilton Tiger Cats. Logan Kilgore will make his first start with Edmonton after CFL passing leader Trevor Harris was injured earlier this month. Well, that's funny, because this came out 2 hours ago, and 33 minutes ago, the voice of the team is saying that Trevor Harris is leading the first team offense.
Conflicting reports.
Couldn't be more opposite.
Yeah.
And Morley's not saying Trevor's going to start. He's not saying that he's not. Sports Interaction is saying Logan Kilgore is starting Friday night. Would this be an NFL problem? Would this happen in the NFL?
No. I mean, there'd be reports about who's playing and who's not. But if there's an injury and he's not going to play, and you know that, it's out there. You assign the tag at the beginning of the week, right? Questionable, probable. He has to have a tag. Yep. And I know Tom Brady for years, I don't know if he still does, always had a questionable tag on him. Yep. Every game, every week, no matter what.
Really?
Always. But you knew.
And he always played.
And he always played. But at least you knew. And then every day there'd be reports. Is he at practice? Is he not? What has he said in the media? Because it's such a big business and the information is so big. Teams are still a little guarded. They still keep some of the information to themselves. But you have to declare what it is, what's going on, a little bit about what's going on. You have to give something to the fans and to the business, because, I mean, that's huge. Huge money.
If you allow me to speculate for a minute based on those two reports which are at opposite ends of the spectrum, I would say that there's probably truth to both, and that is that Trevor Harris is practicing with the ones today, but he's probably going to be, you know, a game day decision, and they'll hold him out. They might have him on the sidelines as a backup quarterback in case something happens. But they're probably looking at the rest of the season. Do we want to risk bringing him back too soon and injuring himself and being out for the rest of the year versus having, let's go with our backup quarterback. Trevor can be moral support and support in the ear, et cetera. But let's give him another week before he comes back. Because let's face it, the Edmonton Eskimos are going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to be fourth mm-hmm. in the West, but they're going to make the playoffs. So who wins the Grey Cup? Well, it's the team that's hot and healthy at the end of the season. So they want to be healthy, and they need Trevor Harris to be healthy. And to be hot, they're going to have to start winning some games, but they don't need to win this game against Hamilton. They just need to win the last few games going into the end of the season, win the crossover game against whoever, and then, you know, hopefully get themselves to the Grey Cup. So wow. I think there's truth to both of those stories.
Funny comment that has come in from Craig in Regina. He's one of our P1s.
Yeah.
Primary one viewers. He's watching every day. He says, Sports Interaction wants to take your money, .. Garbage. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
So does DraftKings. So do the teams. So does A&W. So does McDonald's. So does this show.
Yeah.
Welcome to a capitalist world.
Welcome to a capitalist world. What do you mean Sports Interaction wants to take your money? Everybody does. That's life.
But if I can, wow, Marshall, did you just make everybody in Edmonton feel a whole lot better about their football team? I was mentioning in the commercial break, Davis Sanchez talked about who he likes, and he mentions these teams, and he mentions all these teams, the Alouettes and the Riders, and they're all contenders. Doesn't mention Edmonton, which surprised me, that they're not even in the conversation anymore about being a contender for a Grey Cup. But you're right. I mean, the odds are out. They're a 90-some percent chance of making the playoffs. Like, they're making the playoffs, and they have till the end of the season to figure it out. So if I'm in Edmonton, I feel a whole lot better about the Eskimo situation that maybe isn't that great today.
But on the topic of that, I agree with all of what you're saying, but I'm talking about Trevor Harris. It would be nice to know whether he's playing or not. And in the National Football League, what the Eskimos are trying to do here would not be allowed. So we've had a lot of guys parade through here over this week, Ray Jacobs and Andrew Green, who both played in the NFL and both played in the CFL and spent significant time in both leagues. And they kind of outlined the differences between the two. There's not a fine line between the two. There's a huge line between the two in every regard, talent level, money, the way it's run. And the reason the NFL coaches don't get away with what Jason Mazza is getting away with, the business guys are saying, stop it in the NFL. We need to get a declaration of the players' injuries for business purposes and gambling, because that's funding all our... In the CFL, the football guys run the league. Am I wrong?
No.
And this needs to stop.
You're right.
It will. And
you think so?
The reason it will is because gambling is going to come to the Canadian Football League too.
Yeah.
When gambling comes, then you called it business, but business and gambling, same thing. Once business says... enough of this. We need declarations like they have in the NFL at the beginning of each week on the status of each of these players. It's going to happen. I don't think the teams are opposed to doing it, but nobody wants to be the first guy to say, well, why did you tell him about his knee injury, but nobody else is telling you about their knee injuries? So nobody wants to step out. They'd like the league to mandate it so that it's equal, so that it's a level playing field.
It's going to be a little extreme, but the NFL is so competitive, and it's such big business, and it's entertaining, and it's got a big audience. This kind of reminds me a little bit about, you know, peewee hockey or whatever. You put out your roster and you show that you got a bunch of, you know, 4'9" or 5 feet tall players and scrawny little kids on your roster, because it doesn't matter on your game program. And you want to hide the fact that you got a kid who's already 6 feet tall and, you know, 190 pounds, and he's just going to kick the crap out of the entire team. You hide that, or you hide your trick play, or you hide these different things, and you can trick your way to victories. That's not pro sports, right? Just because you're going to hide the fact that a guy's got a knee injury, or hide the fact that your quarterback's not going to play.
It's Bush.
That's not going to make the game any better.
And it's shady.
Exactly.
And that's what needs to end.
That's not sports.
And I've said it many times. You probably can't get it now, but last month's edition of GQ Magazine had a 6-page feature on Odell Beckham Jr. And he said football is a tiny part of what the NFL is. It's the business.
Yeah.
It's not the football.
Yeah.
And you're kind of explaining that. You know, the business dictates how the football runs. And in the CFL, football is far bigger chunk of what the CFL is.
That's why you...
Rather than probably should change for the CFL's long-term sustainability. We got a break.
Yep.
Marshall, thank you. Marshall always, Legs Hamilton.
Always fun.
We'll see you in a week. And we'll be back with Overtime after this timeout. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Save thousands on this pre-owned 2018 Nissan Rogue. It's fully loaded and ready to move with an employee price of just $23,999 plus tax. Or check out this pre-owned 2018 Ford Edge Titanium All-Wheel Drive. Its employee price is only $27,999 plus tax. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. Offers end September 30th.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. The deep, rich taste and tender texture is the product of great genes and a specialized extra-aged feeding program. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Lay back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Okay, welcome back to the program, everybody. It is Overtime. We got a shout out from Saskatoon. The Saskatoon office is at Great Western Brewing, the actual brewery, from Scott Henbury. Good morning from your friends at Great Western Brewing. Cheers. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for the unending support. Speaking of unending support, Clark has a picture he wants to put up.
Oh, he's got it?
Yeah. He said that this is this morning, if we can get a look at it. This is Brady in Saskatoon has made our show logo the wallpaper on his computer. Now, that's a fan. That is a P1.
Yes.
As we like to say.
Best school background. So that's now on the school computers?
Yeah.
Awesome.
What can we send this kid as a token of our love? And appreciation.
We'll find
Brady, something. We'll be seeing him when we come to Saskatoon, right? Yeah. Are you on the Blades broadcast this year again?
Yeah.
All right, that's going to be
fun. I'll be there Saturday.
Who they got Saturday?
Busy
PA?
Weekend, PA.
course, it's going to be Pierre Saskatoon.
So I'm in, I'm in Calgary with the Rams and the Dinos for Canada West TV coverage on Friday night. Back home in the morning, I'll go to Saskatoon Saturday. The Huskies are on the road in Alberta, the football team, which will be a good game. But I do the hockey game Saturday night, and then back here Sunday to call the Thunder game at 1 o'clock at Libel. So that'll be fun.
And you said you won't be here for Friday's show because of all this.
I travel Thursday afternoon, and then we got meetings with the teams and that kind of
stuff.
Well, hey. For the broadcast.
You got to be on the air.
Yeah,
I was talking to my wife about that for you.
Yeah.
You got to be on the air,
right.
And you're loving it.
Loving it.
And I'm loving what I'm doing here, and everybody's happy, and that's the way that it should be.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Couple questions from the viewers today. Landon writes in and says, hey, Rod, where do you think Eli Manning is headed? Lots of people are saying a trade to Pittsburgh would benefit him. Well, as of Monday morning or Saturday night, Sunday night, I would have said he's done. He's done. He's done. When did they announce Andrew Jones is their, or Daniel Jones is their
yesterday.
Starting quarterback? It was yesterday. Well, Pittsburgh now needs a guy. And can Eli just slip into the Steelers offense? Would you rather not go with the guy that's in-house, the guy that you've...
I want to give him a chance, sure.
The in-house guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there, he knows the system, and he's a good quarterback, clearly. He's won the backup job. And the window in the NFL is so short, though, for winning. If you don't get off to a good start, your season could be over in a heartbeat. So it's very tight that way, and the AFC is so competitive, and they're in a competitive division. But I think that Eli would work in a team that's ready to win now. They've got a decent running game. The defense has always been good in Pittsburgh, and they've got Juju as a receiver who's one of the best in the game. Eli can win in that system. He's not right for the rebuild, I don't think. I think the game is kind of past him. But in a chance, one-off to win, yeah, I'd give Eli a shot because Pittsburgh's got a chance to win something this year.
So that changed. As of Monday morning, I would have said he's done. As of Wednesday morning, I think he will surface somewhere.
Yeah.
Because there's a need for quarterbacks. But I do think overall, Eli's on his last legs. Which, going back to the Rob Bagg interview, by the way, you said everything happens for a reason. I say everything happens for a reason. I do believe that. I would rather see Rob Bagg call it a career now than go sign with some team and see a dwindling of his career at the end with another team. A la Joe Namath with the LA Rams. A la Joe Montana with the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess Gretzky kind of went out on his own terms or out on top with the Rangers, but it wasn't the Kings or the Oilers. And that stat line is 11 straight years of Saskatchewan for Rob Bagg. And Eli should be that for the New York Giants. What else has he got to prove? He's won 2 Super Bowls, right? But if he doesn't need the money.
No, but when you're an athlete or when you're anybody like that, and I mean, I believe Eli's got a Hall of Fame career. I don't think there's any question about that. He's got the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He's got the stats. He's got the wins. So he's a Hall of Famer. And he was a god when he was winning. And now he's kind of ridiculed and he shouldn't be in there and he's done. And that's not the way you want to go out. You want to go out with a good feeling. You want the fans to love you. I think if he left now, I think the fans are happy, right? And you don't want them to be happy when a legend leaves town or is done. So I think a change of pace, change of scenery, one last shot at a little bit of success, that might be a good thing. And Eli can go out feeling good.
Capital Auto Mall poll. We didn't talk as much Blue Jays, actually hardly any, but I will hear the poll, which will be up for 24 hours on Twitter, our Twitter feed at Rod Peterson Show, the website or Facebook. Kevin Biggio hit a cycle for the Blue Jays last night. Are you paying attention? And Clark posted this. His options are yes, go Jays, nope, or bit of both. What do you think's winning or leading?
Probably no.
What's leading is yes. You're paying attention. Go Jays. That's 25.6% of our viewers, listeners, and poll respondents. 25.6 say yes, they noticed.
Okay.
Of which I would vote yes, I know.
Yeah, I paid attention. I got the notification. I saw
24%
it.
Say bit of both. Noticed, but didn't watch the game, which is fair.
Yeah.
And, wait a minute. It's changing in front of my eyes. It's going up and down. That's what happens with polls, I guess. 50% say no, they weren't not. Oh, I totally missed this. Something was typed in here wrong. 50% say no, they weren't watching. Thought it said 5%. So Adam Biggio, his dad, and Kevin both have hit for the cycle. They're the second father-son pairing in the history of Major League Baseball to do it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is super cool. Third in the team history. But yeah, for the father-son pairing to do it, I think that's really neat. And no, not really paying attention to the Jays as much right now. I'm not watching the games, unfortunately. It's one of those things where I'm not a diehard baseball guy, but I love the Jays, and I want to support them, and I do. But I get this. I subscribe to the notifications all the time. I want to know what's going on. So I got word that this was happening, about to happen. I flipped it on, and I saw the highlights, and cool to see it. So a big moment, but it just happens in a year when nobody's paying attention. So that's a little bit unfortunate.
To recap of this very busy day today, Rob Bagg was on for an extended interview earlier on this hour. It was fantastic. It'll be posted all over our social media by Clark and Jordan and all the crew over here. You're going to want to watch that if you missed it. Davis Sanchez from CFL on TSN. Chris O'Leary from CFL.ca. Ryan Flaherty from Global Saskatoon. On a variety of topics, we talked about the Centennial Cup is back, formerly the Royal Bank Cup. It was learned this morning it'll be called the Centennial Cup from now on for Canadian Junior A Hockey Supremacy. A lot of CFL banter today. Saskatchewan Rush drafting Colin Bergloff, local kid last night in one of their three first-round picks. That's the Rush. We talked about Patrick Laine and the Jets. We talked about Drew Edwards leaving Three Down Nation. Talked about CFL Coach of the Year candidates.
We've been all over the map.
Right. So what's today? Wednesday? Tomorrow, we will get into that badly wanted and needed junior hockey talk. Because you can get NHL anywhere. Anywhere. TSN, Sportsnet, CBC, they're all over it. And we will touch on it, of course, but there's no junior hockey coverage. That'll be tomorrow. And we are instituting a junior hockey show, which was Paul's idea. I'll give Paul credit. Don't tell him I'm giving him credit.
A show within a show.
It was Paul's idea of doing just a junior hockey special. And we are going to do that for you guys because clearly there's an appetite for it. But you just got to remember, we do Rush. We do Rattlers. We do CFL. We do NFL. We're covering it all. And that's what people like about it. What did that Zamboni driver Notre Dame say to me the other night when I was out there for the Hounds Humble Broncos games? Rod, I love your new show because you talk about everything and it's not just riders. That's why I love it too. So, well, we're trying to be something for everybody. And actually, some nincompoops around here are talking about going to 3 hours. I voted that down, by the way.
Good. No.
I voted it down. Why would I want to work more? This is fun. Now work.
We can only go to 3 hours if you're going to sit in that chair. I mean, if you get up and leave after 2 hours and we want to stay on for another hour, there's not really a show.
Well, there's talk of it, but there's no confirmation. But the point is people want it.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. Tomorrow, Clark tells me, Gary Lawless of the Vegas Golden Knights, my second favorite NHL team, maybe third. Oilers, Coyotes, Knights.
Okay.
Leafs win last night?
We're all over the place, eh? I'm Leafs and Sharks.
It's perfect.
That's my second
favorite. That's perfect. We're covering it all.
Big rival of the Knights.
The Knights, big time.
Yeah.
So Gary Lawless to talk Golden Knights and a little CFL. Dan Rashevich, the great Dan Rashevich. Is it the 21st on Saturday?
It is.
Yeah, Saturday. His Believe in the Gold, Walk for a Cure, raising money for child cancer research. I've signed up. Just Google Run for Child Cancer, because that's what I did. It came right up. I'm running and walking with these guys on Saturday. Raz is going to try and get you guys doing it too. Rob Vanstone from the Regina Leader Post, returning the favor. I was on his podcast Monday. He's going to be on with us tomorrow. Somebody wrote, Landon, 3 hours would be so sweet.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. For you. Sheldon and Estevan writing in, it's always good to keep people wanting more, Rod. Oh, yeah. That's what Seinfeld did. Leave them wanting more. So with that, we're going to say goodnight. G'day, whatever. Done. And we'll see you tomorrow with all the boys. And thanks for watching right here on Facebook Live.
Oh.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.